If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, we're going to be looking at verses 22 and 24. Many years ago, secretly, a son of a king was stolen away. The throne to a faraway place and locked him away in a dungeon. The king and the king's army searched and searched for the son, for the heir, for month after month. And then they come to the conclusion that the young lad must have wandered off and was eaten maybe by a wild animal. They left off the search, thinking that the son must certainly be dead. But the young boy was not dead. He was locked away in a damp, dark dungeon. And there he lived for over 20 years on bread and water. He did not know his name. He did not know where he came from. All he knew was the dungeon in which he grew up in. He was uneducated, unmannered. He was somewhat like a wild beast waiting for the bread to come in and eating it like an animal would eat. And 20 years passed, maybe 25 years passed, then the word came to the king that his son yet may be alive. And with such a word, the king mounted his army and sieged the castle in the dungeon and rescued the boy and brought the boy back to the castle, back to the kingdom. And there this wild man, who is the heir to the throne, knew nothing of royalty, knew nothing of how to behave in the palace. There they sought to educate him, train him. They put away the rags that was on his back and put on a new robe. They put him through school, taught him how to use forks, spoons, to keep his elbows off the table. And eventually, this prince's father passed away, and they put him on the throne and crowned him king. In our text, we see that we're like this man. We have an old life, and we have a new life. And they're completely opposites. Read with me in verse 22. Going back in verse 21, it says that we have been taught in Christ. Then verse 22 tells us to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Some of you who are Christians, you've been changed. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, but you still think that you have to behave as you used to behave. You're still under this weird delusion that you are a sinner at heart, that you are enslaved to this or that vice, and you can't help it, that this is just who you are, and it's the way you will always be until Christ comes back. And let me tell you clearly and authoritatively, that is a lie. You are not your old self anymore. And you're called by God to put off the old man, to put off the old self. You're not in the dungeon any longer. You're in the castle. You're in the palace. You're on the throne. You're ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. You have a robe of righteousness, and you have been given not just a new identity, you've been given a new nature. And we're to put off that old former nature in which we once walked. And we're to put on the new nature, the new self, and walk in righteousness and true holiness. In this text, what we see here, the main point of these two verses, or these verses here, is living out your true nature, being who you are. And under that, we have two major points. One, you're not who you used to be. And two, you're to be who you've been made to be. First of all, let's look how you are not who you used to be. Your old self is no longer your true nature. Look at verse 22. We've been taught in Christ Jesus to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. Your old self is that which was characterized by a life of sin. And that is no longer you. That's not you. That doesn't characterize your nature. That doesn't identify who you are. In the Greek, the wording is in this order. You're to put off the former manner of life, the old man. It's the old man. This is why Paul calls your old life, your old self, old. It's the old self. It's the same word used to identify the old covenant. Now, the old covenant is not called the old covenant in the old covenant. You read the Old Testament, the covenant is the Mosaic covenant. It's not called old. It's not old until you get a replacement. It's not old until you get the new covenant. And Jeremiah says, there's coming a day when I will give you a new covenant, not like this old covenant which you broke, the old covenant which curses you, the old covenant which cannot save you. I'm going to give you a new covenant, and I'm going to write my law on your heart, and you're all going to know the Lord. A new covenant. And Hebrews 8 talks about this new covenant, and it says that this new covenant, as it is now establishes, makes the old covenant old. It is now old. And what does it mean by old? Well, it says in Hebrews 8:13, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. It's no longer valid. The covenant has been ripped apart. It was a contract that you couldn't keep, and Christ fulfilled a contract on your behalf, and he takes that law, which you cannot fulfill, and he rips it apart and says, you're no longer under the law. You're no longer under that old covenant. It is obsolete. And it goes on to say, and what is becoming obsolete is growing old and is ready to vanish away. It is passing away. It's old. It's like an old pair of jeans that you've worn too long. They need to be trashed. They're worn out. It's old. No longer valid and good. Why is the old self old? Why is your old nature called now the old nature? Because your old nature has been crucified in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who died is free from sin. This is why you're not your old self. That old self is dead. It's been crucified. They said, well, I didn't crucify it. No, you did not. You could not have. Christ did it. You've been crucified with Christ. He killed the old man in you. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died. That is, your old self is dead. You're no longer that being. You're no longer that self. It is been crucified. It has been crucified in Christ Jesus. Goes on to say, your life is now hidden with God in Christ Jesus. You've died, and the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Christianity is not just you deciding to follow the Lord as an intellectual decision. No, it is a radical transformation of your nature. And that old nature has to die and be buried and put away. And you have to be made anew. You have to be born again. According to AA, Alcohol Anonymous, Alcohol AA says, there is no cure to alcoholism. If you're an alcoholic, even if you've been clean for 20 years, you're still an alcoholic. There's no cure. You're always going to be identified with that sin. But this is not true with those who have been born again. You're no longer an alcoholic. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, alcoholics, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. If you're still an alcoholic, you're not going to heaven. If you're still a homosexual, an adulterer, you're not going to heaven. But it goes on to say, and such were some of you. That was you. Not any longer. But you were washed. You have been sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. That is no longer your identity. You see, Paul identified your old self with your former manner of life. That's fact. What the ESV says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. Paul uses this word former in 1 Timothy 1:13, talking about himself. He says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly, past tense, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent. That's what I was. That was true of me, past tense. I was these things, but not anymore. Now, Paul is not saying that we as Christians can't fall into our old former practices. In fact, that's why he's telling us to put off those things, because we often do go back to those things. We may be sitting on a throne, but sometimes we begin to think that we're still in the dungeon. And we begin to eat like dogs rather than kings. We begin to behave like we used to behave, forgetting that we are no longer there. You used to be an idol worshiper. You used to be a liar. You used to be sexually immoral. You used to be a drunkard. You used to be full of anger, strife, jealousy, bitterness. You used to be these things. But that's not who you are now. Meaning you don't have to live the way you think you have to live. Your old self is no longer your identity. And more than that, your old self is no longer your nature. We see here that your old self is perishing. It goes on to say in verse 22, your old self is perishing. It says, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Now, the verb here, corrupt, is in the present, is a present participle. It's not just saying that your old man has been corrupted in the past tense, that it is stained. It is saying it is currently, ongoingly, being corrupted by deceitful desires. The old man, your old nature, is perishing. It's the word here means more than just the word corrupt. It means something that has been spoiled. Literally, it means something that has been ruined. Something that is not useful because it's been spoiled or ruined or tainted. I can't personally, tattling on myself, I personally can't buy a new pair of jeans without spoiling them with a stain or something or ripping them 1 week after I buy them, it seems. And once that happens, they're no longer useful for at least going to church or doing something that is nice. It's like, you know, me, I have categories of shoes. I have my new shoes, new tennis shoes that I run in. Then I have the shoes that still look new, but they're not comfortable to run in, and I can wear those. Then you got the shoes that you put in your garage that you do yard work in. Well, the old self is those shoes that are in the garage. They've been spoiled. They have been worn out. They've been tainted. And literally, they get so bad that they're not even good enough to do yard work in. And all that they're good for is throwing away. In fact, this is what the word means. Literally, the word could, spoiled or corrupted, could be translated as perishing or destroyed. It's the same word used in 2 Peter 2:12, which it says, but these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. That's the word, corrupted. That's what they're good for, to be destroyed and ripped apart and made useless. In other words, the old man is old because it's on the verge of self-destruction. Have you ever seen pictures of meth addicts in the various stage of use? Like you'll see it, you can Google this and see a beautiful woman. And then the next picture, maybe 6 months later or a year later, she's got some red spots on her face. But she's still, you can see she's still beautiful, but she's no longer as beautiful. Then this third phase is that her face is shrunk up. You almost see a skeleton. Then the fourth picture, it looks almost like an animal. This is the nature of sin and the old nature. Your former manner of living. Sin doesn't rejuvenate you. It doesn't keep you alive. The wages of sin is death. And it comes through the deceitful desires. In other words, the old man is self-destructive. It's self-defeating. It is the way of death. And it comes through the deceitful desires of the flesh. Now, this is true before salvation. Before we were converted, the deceitful desires promised us joy and happiness. It promised us life. Look at these images. Just a glimpse, and you'll be happy. You'll be satisfied. You have a burning. You have a desire. You have a craving. You need to satisfy that craving. That is the deceitful desires of the flesh. And then you follow through on those desires. Then the end, as Proverbs 7 says, is death. Meth can be enjoyable while you're partaking. But look at the damaging long-term effects. Proverbs says the way of the transgressor is hard. Your life before Christ was a difficult life. Moments of pleasure, but a life of misery. That's the old nature, and it's self-destructive. It's killing those who are still yet without Christ. And it was killing us before Christ. It's a deceitful desire. It's deceitful. It's promising us happiness and joy and life, but it brings quite the opposite. It is never satisfying, never fulfilling. Ecclesiastes 1:8 says, all things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. You go down that rabbit hole, there's no end to where it'll take you. Just a glimpse. And the next thing you know, you have become so addicted you can't stop. That was who you were, though. Thank God. That is no longer you. That's no longer your identity. You've been made into a new creation. The old man is dead. And the point is, you don't need to live like that anymore. You need to put off the old self. Put off the former manner of conduct which used to control you. For it is no longer your master. You're no longer addicted to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer who you used to be. The old self has been put to death. And like a cancer, the old self was killing itself anyway. So put off the old self. You're no longer that. Our second point is you are to be who you've been made to be. Now that you're a new creation, now that you are in Christ Jesus, be who God made you to be. In large part, our identity is wrapped up in what we do. I'm a pastor. I'm Jeff Johnson. I'm a pastor of Grace Bible Church. That kind of identifies who I am. Some of you are doctors. Some of you are lawyers. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are farmers. Some of you are engineers or mechanics, or maybe you're a husband, you're a wife, or a parent. The activity in which you occupy your lives is somewhat who you are in your identity. But it's more than that. You have a new identity. You have a new nature. You're not who you used to be. You are now a Christian. You're a follower of Christ. This is the true you. I want you to believe this about yourself, you who are saved. First, you need to know if you're saved. And if you are saved, you need to know that you're not who you used to be, but you are a new you. You have new desires. A new heart, a new mind, a new way of thinking. You have new pursuits. There is therefore anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Ecclesiastes 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You're not just justified, you have past tense already positionally been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Therefore, though you may sin, you cannot live in sin. What shall we say? Paul says, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we live in sin, conduct ourselves in ongoing transgressions? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Chapter 6 of Romans, Paul goes on to say, knowing this, that our old man, the old self, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is free from sin. 1 John 3:9 says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. You cannot live in sin. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. This is salvation. Salvation from what? Your sin nature. The thing that was killing you. You've been delivered. You have been recreated not by good works, but you've been recreated for good works. Paul says in Romans 6, 4, we have been buried therefore with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Colossians 3:9 says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. You see, this new self that makes up who you are is not your creation. It's not your doing. You did not convert yourself. You did not give yourself life. You did not crucify yourself. You have been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. It says you are created after the likeness of God. The word here is you've been created or recreated by God's power working in you. You were responsible for your old self, and your old self was perishing. Yet God is responsible for your new self. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old self is self-destructive. It was perishing. The new self is being renewed day by day in the image of its creator. Colossians 3:10 says, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed. The old man is dying. There's no life in the old man. It's perishing. And though the body perish, the Bible says, the inward man is being renewed day by day. There's life. And that life is not shrinking in you. You're not becoming less holy. You're growing. You don't have less life than when the day you were born again. That life has only flourished, and you'll never die. You see, you've been recreated not after sinful man, not after the first Adam who fell into sin and brought ruin to all humanity and deface the very image of God that he was created after. But that very image of God that was defaced by sin has been recreated in you. It says this, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? When you go back to Genesis and say that man was made in God's image, what does that mean? Well, we learn in this text, our text, that in part it means to be made in the ethical, moral likeness of God. In Corinthians, Paul talks about woman being made after the image of man. What does it mean that woman was made after the image of man? Well, you got to go back to the garden and think about man, Adam, when he was naming all the animals. And he noticed something, that all the animals were in pairs. They had companionship. And that led to him to conclude, where is my companion? None of the animals are appropriate companions for me. And it dawned on him, and it was meant to dawn on him, that he was alone. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make man a companion. And thus God made woman in the image of man. Now, man and woman are both made in the image of God. There's equal dignity. And men and women both carry the likeness of God in them. But you see, we're learning what the image of God means in the fact that woman was made as a compatible companion for man. So what does it mean to be made in the image of God? It means that we're made to be in a compatible relationship with God, and that takes true holiness and righteousness. For without righteousness, no one knows God. It is sin that separates that relationship. Being made in the image of God means God made us to have communion and fellowship with him. He is the life. And when sin comes in, it destroys that relationship because it destroys that image that man was created after. So what salvation does, it's a restoration of the image of God so that being made in true righteousness and holiness, that we can be reunited in Christ Jesus, being brought back into fellowship with God. This is the new you. It's not alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in you. You have not so learned Christ. You have been taught in Him. You've been brought back in Him, which is a restoration of the very image of God. And this new you is not anything less than a reflection of God. So who am I? I'm the image of God. I'm a reflection of God's image made in true righteousness and holiness. It's the devil that says, no, you need to think of yourself chiefly as a sinner. And no doubt, without God's grace, we can do nothing. And no doubt, he who says he has no sin, the truth is not in him. I'm not preaching sinless perfectionism. But we need to quit thinking of ourselves principally and primarily as a sinner who is bound to sin. There's no victory in our lives if we perceive of ourselves as an idolater or as an angry person or as this or that. Whatever besetting sins that always we find ourselves falling into, we got to quit thinking of ourselves in that fashion. This is not naming it and claiming it. I don't have the liberty to go, this is who I am. I am a rich man. I have billions of dollars and act like that. No, that's foolishness. I'm a very poor man. But if God says, I am righteous, if God says, I'm a rich man, if my riches are in Christ Jesus, that is, if God says it, then I can claim it. God says you're a new creation. That is exactly what you are. I know you don't deserve it. I know you don't have any credit for it. I know you can't say, well, I've done good. No, I know that it's all of grace and by the work of God in you. But it's still in you. The Bible calls us righteous. It's talking about our justification. But it's also talking about us being sanctified. There is a past tense positional sanctification is true of all believers. Romans 1:7 says, to all the beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, holy ones. 2 Corinthians 1:2, the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Ephesians 5:3, but immorality and impurity and greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. This is who you are. Do you believe that? Now, I skipped over the first phrase of verse 24 or verse 23 on purpose because this is the application. Jeff, it tells me to put off and put on, but I don't know how. I hear what you're saying, and it sounds good and all, but, you know, I'm living in the real world, and I don't know exactly how to kill sin. I don't know exactly how to put on righteousness and holiness. I don't know how to put on this new man. What are you talking about? Put off, put on. What does that mean? How do you do that? Well, it tells us in verse 23, it gets really practical, gives us instructions on how to live holy and how to live righteously, how to not go back to your former manner of lifestyle. It tells us in verse 23, we're to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. It begins with your thinking. You see, you're not, as it goes on to say before or previously it says, don't act like the Gentiles act, who are alienated because of the ignorance and the futility of their thinking. You know, they don't know God. That's not you. You have been taught not just by Christ. You've been taught in Christ. And thus, we have been born again through the knowledge, the personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. And thus, that knowledge that changes us has to be something that's constantly renewed in the spirit of our minds. You need constant meditation on the Word of God. You will fall in sin once you take your mind off the things of God. You will fall in sin when you get your mind on worldly things. The Bible says the carnal mind is at enmity with God, and the carnal mind cannot please God. The reason you fall in sin is because maybe you watch too many movies and you listen to too much secular music, and your mind is too occupied on your earthly pursuits, and you get too carried up with this world, and thus you find yourself easily falling into sin. It's really that simple. What do you need to do? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to get your mind on God. Set your affections, your heart, on things above. It's really that simple. If you want to live out your new nature, put your mind on things above, where your life is hid in Christ Jesus. Lay up your treasures, not here on earth, but in heaven. There's a second thing you need to do. You need to believe this reality. Romans 6:11 is very crucial to sanctification. It says this: so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I like how the King James says, you are to reckon yourself dead to sin. You have to believe it. The Bible says, whatever is without faith is sin. Sanctification always begins with the Word of God and faith. The fruit of faith is obedience. You don't begin with obedience and then get to faith. You trust before you obey. And the first thing to do to live a holy life is to believe the Word of God. And you've got to reckon yourself dead to your old self. You're no longer in the dungeon. You're no longer a wild animal that has no manners. You're no longer isolated from the life of God. You've been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That is a reality, if you believe it or not. You might as well believe it by faith. Reckon yourself. I am no longer an alcoholic. I am no longer a slave to whatever sin that besets me. I'm not that anymore. You can imagine someone in a jail cell and the door is wide open, but he's just sitting there in the corner going, oh, woe is me. I'm stuck and locked in here. And here you go in there, it's like, what are you talking about? That door has been blasted open by Jesus Christ. Walk out. Put off that old man. Stop it. It's implying this. One, the unbeliever can't do this, but you can. And you can because you have Christ in you. You can because you're a new nature. You're a new self. You've been born again by God. You have to believe this before you can put off the old self and put on the new self. Thank God that this sanctification wasn't in our own power. Your sanctification has been brought to you by the power of Jesus Christ, who killed the old man and has made you into a new man. Now just live out what God's done in you. Let's pray. Lord, can it be that these truths are real? Can it be true that you really did sanctify us, cleanse us from the old ways, that you've given us a new nature, a new heart, a new love, a new passion, a new appetite for the things that are above? You've given us a real reality that the things of this world are not that pleasing. We really say you can take our silver and gold. Nothing of it would we withhold. We find no joy and pleasure in the things of this world. Oh, Lord, but what we do find pleasure and joy and life in is in the person of Jesus Christ. He's our treasure. He's our life. He's our glory. He's everything. To him alone be the glory and the praise for what he's done for us, not in just giving us an imputed righteousness, but to give us a infused holiness. To you alone be glory. Amen.